Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call our meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Council. Today is Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2019, and it is 2 p.m. Chairman Del Vecchio, would you like to manage the meeting, or would you like for me to facilitate for you today?
I think today we'll go the conventional route,
all right.
Please.
Okay. Let's begin by calling roll. Council members, if you would answer by saying here. Joe Del Vecchio.
Here, ma'am.
Jim Woolihan.
Here.
Beth Meyer.
Here.
Paul Martel.
Here.
Lois Darlene Leibel Crow. Paul Vixney.
Here.
Allison Klein.
Here.
Thank you. We do have a quorum. Ms. Leibel Crow, are you on the line? If you hear us, Ms. Crow, when you do get on the line, if you would acknowledge your existence for the recording, please. Next, council members, let's introduce the staff here in the room. I'm Marlita Peters, and I will help facilitate your meeting.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Tom Campbell.
Chris Howell.
Chip Sellers.
Jim Hammers.
Thank you. Now, we noticed that we have John Moore on the line for waiver 303 and Jason St. Floor for waiver 368. Do we have any other guests on the line?
Karen Ross, the Building Official Sarasota County, waiver 303.
Ma'am, waiver 303, I did not hear your name.
Kathy Croteau.
Kathy Croteau. Can you spell your last name? Thank you. And there was another lady.
Also, Erin Rossica with the Office of Energy. Erin Rossica.
Erin Rossica. Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Brad Schiffer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting a lot of bleed over from calls. If everyone would please be mindful of any background noise that's going on around you. The intercom does pick up everything. If you're not speaking on the conference, we ask that you keep your phones on mute. You can do that on most phones with pushing a mute button, or if you do not see that, *6 or #6 to mute and unmute your phone. Any other guests on the line?
Yes, Larry.
Go ahead, Larry.
I'm sorry, Larry Schneider.
Thank you. And who was the
Gene
other?
Gene Becker.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Becker. Any other guest? Hearing none. Council members, we'd like to move ahead with a motion to accept the agenda if there are no recommended changes.
Mr. Vecchio, I make a motion that we approve the agenda as written.
Thank you.
Beth Meyer, I second.
Thank you. All those in favor of the agenda, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Council members, we'd now like to approve the previous minutes of Wednesday, February the 6th, 2019, if there are no changes or corrections.
This is Beth Meyer. I move that we accept the minutes.
Thank you.
From February 6th.
This is Paul Vixney. I second.
Thank you, Mr. Vixney. All those in favor of the minutes, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hi, Darlene. Thank you for checking in with us. Were you on the phone when we did roll call, or are you just now joining, Darlene?
Yes, I was having a problem logging in, so I'm here.
All right, thank you. All right, first item to review today. We're going to look at Jason St. Floor, waiver number 368. Mr. St. Floor, are you on the line?
Yes, I am there.
Would you like to introduce your request, please?
Sure. This deals with a property that is considered a historic property located on in Miami Beach at 1024 Michigan Avenue. This property is a building that consists of two units, one on the lower floor and one on the upper floor. Each unit is approximately 1,079 square footage, totaling about 2,160 or so. We are in the process. We do have a transient hotel license with the state. We have applied for a change of use for the unit with the city. The city has informed us that the waiver is the only way to be able to get disqualified. We have consulted with different elevator companies. It's just not something that is feasible. The entire building is over 100 years old.
Thank you. Staff analysis? Chip Sellers.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is a change of use. Project progress completed. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of two existing historic two-story residential buildings with 1,079 square foot. The project consists of changing the use of the existing residential buildings into a boutique motel with 40 units. According to the applicant, due to site constraints and floor areas are less than 3,000 square foot, the requirement of the floor accessibility requirements places an undue and costly burden to the construct an elevator if the waiver is denied. The applicant is requesting a waiver based on the hardship is caused by condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility to the extent it has been made necessary.
Thank you. Council members, do we have any questions?
Yes, this is Paul Martel. I guess I'm trying to get a picture of, there's three separate buildings, two are two-story, one is one-story, and that means there's going to be six units or five units?
There are six units in total.
Six? Okay, so there's going to be six units, and are you building more units?
The buildings have already been built.
Okay.
The waiver is only for the historic unit, which is that one building that only has two units in them, which is also considered to be historic.
Okay, so you have one building that's historic and the others are not.
Correct.
Okay. But you're requesting a waiver that an elevator not be put in any of them? Any of the two that are two-story?
Exactly.
Okay, and so we know one building is historic. What about the other building? Is that historic?
Yes. The other building is it was referred to as having a contributing effect historically, but not historic.
So the only one that really has any documentation, which I didn't see, but I might have missed it, as a historic landmark is the building you're requesting a waiver for.
Exactly.
Okay. So what about the accessible features of the bottom floors? Have you met your obligation there?
For which part? The bottom unit?
Yes.
The accessibility requirements that we have essentially the vertical accessibility would be for both units, the unit on the floor and the unit on the second floor.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm not asking that. I'm asking about the floors, your first floors. Have you met all accessibility requirements for those, I guess, three different buildings?
Yes, we have, yes.
Mr. Madani?
Yeah, this is Mo Madani. Let me ask one question. In terms of a change, it's our understanding with regard to the change of use that there is no alteration involved. Am I correct? You're changing them from residential to hotel, and there was no alteration to be able to really do the change of use. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So there will be a zero alteration, yes.
Thank you. Council members, are there any of you that have any further questions?
Yes, this is Joe Babacchio.
Go ahead.
I have a question for the representative. When you first applied for a building permit from the city, what were the requirements in the building permit in regards to accessibility, if any?
When we first applied for the building permit, as well as the change of use, there were just some of the basic things that needed to be done, such as, you know, making sure that there's an accessible unit, which we've addressed with the city, make sure that there's two accessible units, which we have, in the second building.
Okay. And
this is a, I guess the best way I can explain it.
Okay. My next question is, when you requested the building permit, was there any mention in the change of use? Because as I've read it, it was a resident, right? Then the change of use was going to become a boutique hotel. Am I correct?
It's a little bit muffled. Can you get it muffled with the phone? Could you repeat that, please?
Okay, sure. What I'm asking you is the conversion was from a resident to a boutique hotel. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. And did anybody mention a change of use to you and what is required?
I don't think I'm answering the question. Yes, somebody did mention to me what is required. That's in part why we've made this request for the waiver.
Okay. And this construction has already been completed. Am I correct?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. And other than not having the vertical accessibility of the elevator or conveyance for somebody who is disabled to the second level, you basically haven't received a certificate of occupancy because of that reason.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
Correct.
Alright. And may I ask, what made you pursue this project and spend money that you needed, well, the resources required to accomplish this without knowing that you were going to receive a certificate of occupancy or not?
I think the question is why did we pursue the project?
Hey, this is Mo Madani. This is Mo Madani. I think we need to stick to the scope of the request and for the waiver and the vertical accessibility. Other issues that related to other matters that's outside the scope of this request. So I just feel like We don't need to branch out to other subjects that we have no authority.
I'm willing to rein it into that, but it seems as though there's a lot of loose ends to the property. I'm trying to wrap my head around it so I can make a valid decision.
I've got
all the information that I need to vote.
Thank you.
Council members, any further questions?
Yes, this is Paul Martel again. So am I correct in that there was $125,000 spent in the past on construction activities for this property?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. How much of that money was used? Did you use the 20% on accessible features for the other floor, for the ground floors?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I have a question for staff. Is there anybody that goes out and actually checks to make sure that, you know, that they're meeting their requirement?
No, we have no authority to do so. We rely on the local jurisdictions, the enforcement agency to do so, but we have no involvement. The only thing we rely on in this case is what's provided in the applications.
And the waiver also, the final order, is done out to the verbiage that y'all use for, of course, when it's a motion is presented. So the building department does see in the waiver everything that was presented to a degree.
Well, it would be nice if we had some kind of documentation that says, in fact, the applicant has they're asking for a waiver. They've already spent money. It seems like they've already spent money. How could they have already spent money if part of the process would have had to have gotten some sort of a permit beforehand? And actually, that would have probably triggered this whole vertical accessibility issue.
Lots of times I've dealt with one issue is that several times people get a permit and then they go back to the building department and or sometimes they're doing an inspection and the building department's like lots of times are, oh, by the way, you need to deal with vertical accessibility, and that happens quite a bit.
Let me explain something. This is Momadani about this waiver application. It is our understanding that the project has been completed before it in the change of use. When the change of use took place, there were no additional alteration to be made. And the change of use, according to the permit and according to the completion, that were no alteration done. So for that, you know, there's no trigger to the vertical accessibility that's required by the code. And that's what's really presented in the application. So our position is based on what's presented in the application.
So I'm not saying that this is what occurred, but so you're telling me then that people could make modifications to a building and then after they've met the requirements of the local building code or the state building code for whatever it falls under at that time, and then they could go out and after that ask for a change of use, which would potentially, I guess, trigger this particular vertical accessibility issue. But we don't know, based on the fact if the construction had been done at the same time and the requirement for vertical accessibility had been triggered at that time, what other kinds of changes may need to have been made. You follow my reasoning here?
Yeah, but for this building, we need to go back to the before the change of use. This was a residential mainly a two-story residential building, which doesn't fall under the accessibility code. So whatever the changing they made or whatever, that'd be fair, maybe fair housing and so on, but not the Florida accessibility code. The Florida accessibility code kind of kicked in whenever they changed the use. And since the change of use did not trigger an alteration, there is no trigger for compliance with the accessibility code. And that's what really we're saying here.
Okay, well, speaking for myself, I would really like to see or have some sort of certification that they're, you know, that whatever they would have had to have met under the circumstances if they had been applying for, you know, let's forget about vertical accessibility, just what other kinds of requirements they would have to have met if they had had applied for their, you know, for their permit under, you know, from the get-go. So when they were getting ready to do construction at that particular time, they would have said, we're going to be a boutique hotel. What would have been their requirements under that, and have they met those? That's what I would like to know.
Ladies and gentlemen, back to the TAC members. Are there any further questions or comments from TAC members? If not, is there anyone from the public who would like to make a comment or ask a question? Hearing none. Council members, back to you for a motion on the issue at hand.
A motion that we grant to the extent necessary as stated by the staff recommendation.
Is that Mr. Bixney?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry about that.
And is that based on historical nature?
No. Yes. To the extent
necessary.
Has been necessary. Don't last.
Do we have a second on the motion?
This is Darlene. I second it.
Any further questions or comments, council members?
Yeah, this is Paul Martel again. Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that, but go ahead and vote.
This here is Joe Delvecchio. I have to tell my fellow members that something doesn't feel right about this, and there is insufficient evidence. And the way that the history of the project really raises a lot of red flags for me. And I'm not going to be able to vote to grant this waiver. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to do this by roll call vote. Please answer yes if you accept the motion, no if you are denied, please. Mr. Delvecchio?
I do not grant the waiver here.
Mr. Woolihan?
No.
Beth Meyer?
No.
Paul Martel?
No.
Darlene Leibel Crow?
No.
Paul Vixney?
Yes.
Allison Klein?
No.
The motion fails.
Go ahead. This is Justin Vogel, the Commission's counsel. I just wanted to, point out to the Accessibility Advisory Council that you can vote to recommend that the commission deny this waiver, or if you'd prefer to solicit more information from the applicant, then you can make a motion to recommend that this be deferred. And if you do that, I guess I would recommend that you just clearly lay out what kind of information the council would need from the applicant to allow you to make a better informed decision.
And if I just have an opportunity to know, I think Chet tried to address.
I'm sorry, this is not open.
But if I have,
sir, who's speaking, please?
This is Attorney Jason St. Fleur.
No, I can't. We have to.
We do have to wait a moment for the council to make a decision, Mr. St. Fleur.
Well, to the extent that they want additional information,
Mr. St. Fleur, they'll answer it
because I think
if they have questions, they will ask you. One moment.
This is Paul Martel again. My original, I guess, thought or need for information was of the money that was already spent on construction, the $125,000, has the applicant met its obligation with respect to the accessibility features that needed to be upgraded to bring it into compliance as much as feasibly possible based on what can be done for that amount of money, and I'd like to see information accordingly that backs that up by some sort of expert or someone who can attest to or swear to that is the case.
Mr. Martel, is that a question for the proponent?
That's all right. That is my recommendation for additional information before I can make a decision.
May I have an opportunity to respond?
No, sir.
Because I just think there's just a missing.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and answer the question. Mr. St. Fleur?
I think there's a misunderstanding here. This was originally a non-commercial property located in Miami Beach, which was considered to be historic. So prior to being able to even touch the property, you must first spend and having hearings before the historical board of Miami Beach. A copy of that order was submitted to you. Once that is approved, which that process started in 2015. The process was eventually approved. Then you go through permitting and getting the property, is the property being able to get permitted as what the property was. Doing a change of use, however, was not required prior to going before the historic board, and subsequent to doing the renovation. After doing the renovation and moving forward to doing a change of use, which is now under a different building code, the accessibility code, we must comply with the accessibility. Hence why this waiver is being requested. I am more than happy to give you, there's a copy of order from the Historic Board of Miami Beach. I believe part the original permit number B09161878 was also included in my notes in providing this over to the committee. That's what it is. You cannot do a change of use if there is an to a boutique hotel if there is an accessibility issue. In this case, which there is a vertical accessibility issue, which is why we requested for the waiver. Once the waiver is granted, then we're able to proceed in achieving a CO from the city.
Does that conclude your comments?
Yeah, this is Mo Medani. I just wanted to clarify. Normally for historic significance documentation, we look for a letter from Department of State. Local board and all that, that's fine, but we only look for a letter from the Department of State with regard to the historic significance and so on, which has not been provided in this case.
Council members?
I believe I did.
Go ahead, sir.
I believe I did submit a copy of the board, of the historical board of Miami Beach. There is, I do not have one from the state. But our request is we're talking about a property that is less than 1,100 square footage in total. And according to the ADA, it only has two units, one on top, one on the bottom. We are not essentially asking anything other than to allow us to use the standard of the ADA. This is not a 5,000 square footage property that we're asking the committee today to issue a waiver for. We're asking this to be waived down to the ADA requirements.
Thank you.
Well, and this is Paul Martell again, and I don't know if you're understanding. I think that pretty much your vertical accessibility issue for me is not an issue. That's what certainly I would be certainly willing to, speaking for myself, to go ahead and grant the waiver for that, but that's not what I'm asking you. And you keep bringing that up again, like that's the issue. No, that's not the issue. I'm asking about the property meeting all the other accessibility guidelines up to the amount of $125,000 that you all spent prior on renovations before it became a boutique hotel. And what would be the requirements if at the time of your change of use, you were actually doing the construction? That's what I'm asking. And that's the information I want to make sure that you've met your obligation before I can vote.
We were dealing with a different building code when the renovations were being done and were being completed. We were not under the accessibility code because this was not previously a boutique hotel.
Yes, I understand
one moment,
that.
Ladies and gentlemen, one moment.
Okay.
Mr. Campbell.
Take advantage of the council. Is that a motion from Mr. Martell for deferral for additional information?
Mr. Martell, is that a motion from you for further information?
Yes, it is.
Do we have a second on the motion?
Yes, it is.
I'll second that motion, Beth Meyer.
Thank you.
If I may, the problem is using 125 as a stating that things have been done, and yet there's nothing there to show that anything has been done. So that's the problem, is that we're using that as a qualifier in this as it's presented, but it's really not. It's in here as a qualifier. We just would like to see, you know, usually there's documentation that shows where what's been done and some type of documentation to support that.
Thank you.
Of course, I can
sir. Mr. St. Fleur, it is back to the council now. Council members, we have a motion to defer for further information, seconded by Ms. Myers. All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Council?
Okay, this is Justin Vogel, Commission's Council. Mr. St. Fleur, I just wanted to note that this constitutes a recommendation from the Council to the Commission. The Commission will take up this waiver at its April meeting. If you wish to make any further comments then directly to the commission, which does make the ultimate decision, then you're free to do so, okay?
And that will be an in-person meeting.
A question to the chair, please, from the public.
Mr. Schneider, go ahead.
Thank you. Would you not need, and I guess I'm talking to legal, under Robert's Rules of Order, you need to reconsider the original motion, which was to deny it.
The motion
you reconsider it. Then you make the motion defer.
Thank you for your input. We have taken our motions on that application. We're going to move to the next one now.
Thank you. Moving ahead to item number two, waiver 303 for ultra-fast systems. Chip Sellers.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress under design, project construction costs and construction over the past 3 years is $1,864,654. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of an existing building with 19,895 square feet. The project consists of building out the existing second floor with new labs and offices. According to the applicant, an elevator cannot be located outside of the building as it is part of an industrial complex that does not allow any exterior additions to existing buildings. Vertical accessibility is structurally infeasible inside the building due to the existing heavily reinforced second floor framing and the existing metal roof diagram bracing. The applicant is requesting a waiver based on the hardship as caused by condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommendation, the applicant is requesting a waiver on the grounds that it would be technically infeasible for them to provide vertical accessibility to the second floor. Staff has received comments from the local building official suggesting that vertical accessibility could be provided. I believe the official is on the line today to provide their comments to the council. Staff defers to the expertise of the council to determine whether technical infeasibility would be appropriate grounds for a waiver in this case.
Thank you. Is the proponent on the line?
Yes, this is John Moore.
John Moore, do you have anything to add to the recommendation or to the comments made by staff?
Just a brief history. This project was originally permitted as a two-story building with heavy storage on the second floor. That work has been completed and that project has been closed out. The owner has now asked us for a new design team to the project if building out the second floor in laboratories instead of storage is feasible. And that's when I brought the question to staff, because while the federal statutes allow exemptions, the state statutes do not. So the staff suggested I request a waiver, and that's why I brought the project forward.
Thank you. Ms. Grateau, I believe you are on the line.
Yes, Kathy Grateau, building official, Sarasota County. So this is, I just learned of the waiver on Monday. We did recently, this building underwent a tenant build-out permit for the first floor, creating a mezzanine on the second floor with that tenant build-out permit, which was just closed out and issued a certificate of completion January 8th of 19. During the plan review of that permit, county staff had asked the designer to identify the use of the second floor, which is the second floor mezzanine as it sits right now is 8,378 square feet. The response that we had got during the plan review of that initial permitting was that that space would be designated as storage. And when the storage was unfinished and it would not be intended for human occupancy. So they were not providing accessibility at that time when we had requested it. They did mention, though, the second floor, if it's ever converted at a later date, would into office space, they would make the necessary provisions for vertical accessibility. So I see now that the intent is changing. We currently do not have a permit for the change of use from the storage occupancy that was built with this permit that just closed out to change it to a business occupancy. We did ask for the loading at the time for what type of storage would be on the second floor, making sure that the floor was properly loaded to make sure whatever storage they were planning on putting up there had the structural strength for that. Not knowing what else is involved with it, the vertical accessibility first section 202.1.1 and Florida Statute 553 could be accomplished. It seems, like I said, I haven't seen any of the plans on how they propose this change of use to occur, but it seems like it could be accomplished through the use of a limited use, limited application elevator for section 408. That's our recommendation, is to, for compliance with vertical accessibility, using the Lula lift or other means.
Thank you. Council members, do
question?
We have, council members, do we have questions or comments?
Yes, this is Paul Martel. Can you verify the to Ms. Courteau what you know about that area as far as the I guess the issue of not building an elevator on the outside of the building?
Yes, we have been told by the association that they would not approve that.
What association, sir?
Okay.
The that complex, as I understand it, has some kind of an ownership association that controls the three buildings that are part of that complex, or maybe there, I think maybe there are four.
Three, okay.
Council
and,
members,
and they provide any documentation to us that they wouldn't allow that.
I have not provided it to you. I have an email from them saying that they would not support that.
Is that in your contract? Is that in the owner's contract?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Mr. Martel, does that complete your questions?
Yes.
Council members, any other clarifying questions? Is there any?
Yes,
Mr. Delvecchio?
Yes, thank you. I have a question. Some clarity here. There was, what I understand is there was an original permit that requested that there was a mezzanine deck built for storage only. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct.
And currently, there is a subsequent permit being pursued whereby the mezzanine deck will be turned into office space. Do I understand that correctly?
That we certainly intend to submit for a permit, but the elevator is a critical part of that permit, and the owner has directed me to see if we can get a waiver, because it may mean whether or not he goes ahead with the renovation up on the second floor. And the majority of the space up there would be lab space that hold these laser tables that they incorporate in their business. The offices are secondary.
Okay.
We have not submitted that to any building official.
All right. And can you tell me what the estimated cost of the new renovations are going to be?
My recollection is the last estimate was approximately
$800,000.
All right. Council members, any further questions?
Yes, this is Paul Martel. Just clarification. So the permit was, when was construction completed?
I believe it was the January date that was referenced earlier.
Of 2019?
Yes, this is Kathy.
Yes.
The certificate of completion was issued January 8th of 2019.
Mm. Council members, any further questions?
This is Darlene.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Earlier, Paul was asking about the contract. Did the contractor or the builder, whatever, get a copy of the association ordinance, the contract, or policy that indicates that the outside elevator can be on there?
This is the architect. I have not seen that document.
I think that would be a critical thing there, because if the homeowner, the association does not have that in a policy already, then that it needs to be documented. That's it.
Thank you. If there are no further questions from the council, is there anyone from the public with comments or questions? Hearing none, council members will take a motion.
I don't know how to make the motion appropriately, but I move to deny this waiver request.
That's an appropriate motion.
Joe Lovettian, second that motion.
Is that Mr. Martel making the motion?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, and Mr. Delvecchio.
Darlene.
Second
it.
Thank you. We have a second from Mr. Delvecchio. Any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to deny, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Next, we'll move ahead to item number 3, Zaco Offices, waiver 366. Mr. Sellers?
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type is an alteration to existing building or facility. Project progress completed. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $26,563.38. Project construction costs and construction over the past 3 years is $27,334.36, which equals a 97% economic threshold, hardship threshold. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story office with 2,488 square feet. The applicant is renovating the building from single family to a medical office. The project cost is $27,963.54 for the alteration. The alteration will consist of interior framing, electrical, plumbing, new finishes, fixtures, and adding a ramp to the ground level. The applicant submitted an estimate of $21,998.03 and $23,616 for a lift. The applicant alleges substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Thank you. Do we have anyone representing Zaco Offices on the line? Hearing no response. Council members, do you have any questions?
This is Beth. This is a two-story building, correct? So both floors are going to be part of the medical office? I'm asking a question, so.
We're trying to pull pictures, Ms. Myers, one moment.
Okay, thanks. Nope, thank you very much.
I believe the upstairs is offices up there, I believe.
This here is Lola Vecchio.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask one of the representatives if procedures can be done on the first level that can be, is it practical that all of the procedures done on the second level can be done on the first level?
We have no one representing the property online, Mr. Delvecchio.
Okay.
This is Mo Medani, too. Just to remind you, this really reached the threshold for economic hardship. Just to let you know that, 97%. So.
Do you know what kind of medical services are being provided here?
No, we normally, we don't get into that detail, no. It's my understanding the only thing we have is that there'll be a medical office.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you do state your name before speaking so that we can keep our records clear.
To the left side is the first floor, and to the right side is the second floor. Let's go down some more.
Does it say anything about the...
This is Paul Martel. Well, certainly it would make a lot of difference in requesting a, you know, rising to the issue of hardship on who actually is, you know, building the, whose office this is.
Mr. Martel, this is Justin Vogel, the Commission's attorney. With respect to economic hardship, the statute reads specifically, if an applicant for a waiver demonstrates economic hardship in accordance with 28 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 36.403F1, a waiver shall be granted. And so economic hardship is defined by the federal regulations there, and it's at a 20% threshold, I believe. And so in this case, it... From the representations and the information that's been submitted, it seems to exceed those federal regulations. And if the council finds that information submitted to it to be credible, then the commission has to grant it. And so your recommendation would probably need to take that into account.
Council members, any further questions?
Yes, this is Joseph. I'd like to know, being a medical a facility, I know this goes beyond our purview, but are there special requirements for anything that's medical?
Okay, this is Mo Medani. We are not yet. We are our really scope here is not to bring the building into compliance with the accessibility code. That's the responsibility of the building official, the designer, and all that. The only thing we're addressing in this waiver is the vertical accessibility. We're not here trying to make sure that the building is fully accessible. It's not something we look at or get into because that's not what within our authority.
Do we have any public comment at this time? If not, then council members, do we have a motion? Council members?
This is Paul Martel. I guess I feel like I really would like to know more about, and yeah, definitely it's not in our intent, but if I go, you know, if I go to my family doctor and he notices I have a mole on my back, he probably might tell me to go see a skin doctor. So, you know, when we're, you know, I look at when I'm doing this, and based on what my organization represents, is what's the impact here? Not just on whether, you know, does it meet a particular vertical accessibility guideline or not. I mean, there's other things I think that need to be considered when you're talking about accessibility as a whole. So, you know, I kind of disagree that that's my only purpose here.
So what is your motion, sir, or are you making one?
My motion would be to at least have someone who
someone from this organization come and speak about this particular office and what its purpose is.
One moment, please.
And I realize that the accessibility council could just grant it anyway.
So you wanted to really
it's a motion to defer.
To defer for need more information?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Motion to defer for further information. Do we have a second?
Seconds.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Need more information to find out what kind of doctor's office it is. Is that correct?
No, they need somebody to be
just present. The purpose of this medical facility.
And you're requesting someone that you can ask these questions of that represents the property?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, all of those in favor of the motion to defer for further information, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That concludes those items. Are there any further comments by the public or the council?
Yes, this is Paul Martel. I just noticed that I wasn't able to access the staff recommendation from, they wouldn't open up for me from my email. So I'm not sure if there's something going on there. I just wanted to let you know that.
I send you a copy of the agenda and the email, but I also send you a link to the website to where you can go. You're not going to be able to open up the links just in your email. You have to go to floridabuilding.org to actually look at all the attachments and staff recommendations and everything that goes with the agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
I think everything opened. This is Beth. Everything opens up except for the staff analysis in the email that you send. So all those other support documents you can review just from that one.
All right. Well, you may just want to. I typically also send a link to the agenda on the website, and so future you may just want to go to that link and go to the website to where you can see everything probably a little bit better on there.
And this is Paul Martel. Just one more thing. If possible, it would be great. The more information we have as far as pictures are concerned can certainly help out quite a bit.
I appreciate that.
I know that it makes a difference.
I always tell them the more you provide, the better off you are.
Any further comments or questions?
Yes, it's Joe DeVecchio. Is there a possibility that we can schedule a meeting just between ourselves before our next formal meeting with the public, just to ask questions and understand what the constructs of what these meetings are and where our boundaries lie, because I think there's a little bit. I can speak for myself that there's a little bit of confusion on my part, and I just want a level of clarity.
This is Tom Cam. This is Tom Campbell. We'll set an agenda item for the next meeting, and it'll just be the first thing that we do prior to starting in on the applications, if that would work for you.
It would actually, excuse me, but I can appreciate that, but if we could just have a meeting where we can mull it over, because we'll just jump into our next meeting, and I can see where that would be a little bit awkward.
We'll work on getting something set it'll be set up. But it will be a meeting that is noticed and open to the public, to the public, and we'll just go home and go over some of the statutes, the rules, and
I would certainly appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. We do have a PowerPoint presentation that we have delivered a number of times, which we can bring back and we can go over it to really speak about the criteria and all that. So yeah, sure.
Hey, thank you.
This is Paul Martel. Just one more thing, and I don't know if I need to make a motion to make this happen. I would appreciate knowing what the accessibility committee finally, or what the building access code council finally decides with respect to our recommendations.
It'll be the building commission who makes the ultimate decision, and all of that
is on the website.
Information is on the website and is available. And Chip would be happy to show you where you can get it.
Well, I would ask that that staff report what the outcome was at the next meeting based on the recommendations that we made.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. We can make sure that those orders from the commission are viewable for you, if that's what you would like.
All I need them to do is say, these are the recommendations you made. This is what the building commission decided.
Okay.
Well, in the next meeting, we can go over the website and how to find things on the website as well, too. So,
thank you. With no further questions, we're going to do a final roll call. Please answer by saying here. Yes. Mr. Del Vecchio?
Yes.
Jim Woolleyhan?
I want to make a recommendation.
Go ahead, please. Is this Ms. Crow?
We'll just get in touch with her. Just take the attendance.
I'm still here.
Okay, let's move ahead with our final roll call, please. That was Ms. Crow that said still here. Mr. Woolleyhan?
Here.
Beth Meyer?
Here.
Paul Martel?
Here.
Paul Vixney?
Here.
Allison Klein?
Here.
Thank you. That concludes our meeting for today at 3:03. Have a good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your participation.